Repeat after me. This is my Bible. It is the sovereign word of God. I submit and surrender my life to this word. It is the final authority for everything in my life. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. On this day, I boldly confess. My mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'll never be the same again. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever living seed of the Word of God. It's all the power of Word, work in my life, and through my circumstances, and it shall forever be unto me a fountain of life, and I shall. Never thirst again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let us read the word of God. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Let us read together. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and to cure all diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Amen. 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 They set out to do what Jesus told them to do. Amen. He told them, take nothing for your journey.
Amen.
Amen. That is the title of this sermon today. Simply, take nothing for your journey.
Good subject.
Amen. 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 You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. As we seek to do what God has called us to do and to live lives worthy of the call, no doubt we at times find it very challenging and very difficult to do so. And sometimes we wonder whether or not God has even called us to do what we're doing, because sometimes it's so difficult, the challenge is so great. And I submit to you today that whatever God has called you to do, it will be a challenge to do.
Amen.
There's no such thing as God having a call upon your life and then sending you out to accomplish whatever it is he has given you as a purpose to do, and you do not have to deal with adversity and have to deal with obstructions and things in your way, and things that are trying to keep you from accomplishing the will of God for your life. And sometimes it becomes very difficult. The challenge can become very great, especially as we are trying to go to work each day and be what we need to be in marriage and raising children and just taking care of the everyday issues that we deal with in life. Yet God has given us a cause, and God has given us a purpose, and God expects us to carry it out in the world.
Amen.
It would be easy if, when God gave us a call, that we had no adversity to face, that everywhere we went, everybody was glad that we came, happy to see us, and always so thankful that we were ready to share with them what thus saith the Lord. But the truth of the matter is being a Christian in this world that is wicked, in this world that is lost, is not a comfortable position
All right.
to be in.
Amen.
Are you with me today?
Amen.
So if you think that you're going to be able to live this life that God has ordained you to live, and you're never going to have any trouble, you're never going to have any problems, you are in a fairy tale world. Trouble in my way. Sometimes it's in our way all the time. When you wake up in the morning, it's in your way. When you drive down the street, it's in your way. When you come home, it's in your way. Sometimes when you look in the mirror, it's in your way. The Bible says, man born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble. And sometimes it seems like trouble just finds us. I'm not out looking for trouble. It just knocks on my door and says, hello, good morning, how are you today? And it sometimes just finds us when we're trying to be at our greatest place of peace and our greatest place of joy.
Right.
We say, Lord, I just really want to live for you, and I just really want things to go well. And I've just really been committing myself to the things of God. And so, God, I know it's going to work out. And it seems like that's when we face the greatest challenges, when our commitment level to God deepens and grows all the more, we face all the more challenges.
Yes.
And we have to be reminded, I believe, at times along this journey, one who called us to the journey, who prepared the journey for us, who gave us the purpose of the journey in the first place. Because God will never call you to do something that he has not equipped you to be able to do.
Right.
God will never put on us more than what we can bear.
Amen.
To the extent sometimes that we feel that we're bearing much more than we are able, sometimes we need to do a self-evaluation of our lives and see, Lord, where is it that I put some extra stuff on my life that you didn't intend for me to have?
All right.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Because sometimes what we can do is we can add some stuff in there that God didn't plan for us to add. God, listen, the recipe of your life, God has put all of the necessary ingredients in it for that when it comes out, it is perfect. Just like you cooking a pie, you cooking a cake, or you cooking some meal, and you have certain ingredients that you have to put in it. And if you put these ingredients in at just the right amount, it is going to come out perfect. But if you deviate in any way, Grandma gave you a real good recipe, and when she cooked it, it was perfect every single time. But you decided, hey, I want to add a little bit of this to it to make it work a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I can make what Grandma made even taste better. And so then when you add this ingredient or that ingredient to it, it comes out, it's not like what you thought it would be. It wasn't anything wrong with Grandma's recipe. It was something wrong with the additives that you incorporated in the recipe. And so it is important that as we trust in God, we do whatever it is God has told us to do. If God has said to forgive, I know you don't want to forgive that person because they mistreated you and they talked about you and they lied on you and they didn't help you out when you were in need. And so, you know, really, according to the world, you have something to hold against them. You can be indignant in how you are with them, but God says to forgive.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And so now we have a choice to make. Will I forgive as God has called me to forgive, or will I hold it against them? But when you find out when you don't do it God's way, you suffer all the more.
Amen.
Sometimes when it comes to our giving, you know, God says to give and how it is that we ought to give. And Lord, if I give in that way, then I just won't have enough for myself. But God is saying, if you are obedient, and if you are faithful, you will find that you will have more than enough. It really comes down to, when you really just get to the bottom of it, how much do I trust God?
Right.
And how much faith do I truly have in the Lord? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 that the just shall live by faith. And that means that sometimes we won't see things the way we want them to be, yet God calls it the way he has established it to be. And so we have to simply trust in God and move out on faith. And this year, I am really encouraging you to really trust God as never before and to move out on faith. in faith as never before, because God has called us to this very moment of faith. And the decisions that we make right now are the decisions that will open up doors for us later on down the road.
Amen.
The key that opens up the door down the road in your life, wherever that might be, that key is already in your hand, and it is the key of faith.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
The just shall live by faith. See, and the Lord gave this to me. You know, sometimes the problem is that when we don't utilize the key of faith at a certain point in our life to open up a door that should be open unto us, then we get off the road that we're supposed to be on, and we find ourselves on a different road. So then we come to another door, and we want to use the key of faith, it does not unlock that door, because it doesn't unlock the door on that road. It's only intended to unlock the door that's along the path that God has given for us. That's why we have to trust God. That's why we have to trust God's word. That's why we have to take God at his word and know that God has given us all that we need to be prosperous. And not only that, God has destined, I want you to hear this, this is very important. God has destined us to come into contact with the right people at the right time that will be a blessing unto us. Along this journey, there will be some people that you're going to need to help you along the way. Maybe it's a banker or a financier. Maybe it's a friend that will pray with you and encourage you and motivate you at a certain point in your life. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a teacher. Never take any relationship or any encounter for granted.
Amen.
Because God can move
right.
in what
right.
seems to be the least important of
that's
relationships.
Right.
God can move and change the projection
that's
of
right.
your destiny.
Amen.
Simply by who it is you
Amen.
Come into contact
Amen.
With.
Amen, that's true.
You never know. That's why we don't look down on people. We don't belittle people. We speak the word of God to them. We share with them concerning the word of God. And you know what? And you are intended. There are people in your life that God intends for you to bless.
Right.
That God intends for us to empower. Okay? So now, as we go into the word of the Lord today, Jesus, he brings together, he's called the 12 disciples together. And he's going to send them out to begin their earthly ministry. And as he sends them out, he gives them specific instructions, things he wants them to do, and lets them know that they may encounter problems along the way, but he's given them what they need to be able to deal with the situation.
Amen.
Now, if we had time, we could just go all throughout the New Testament, and we can see what many of the disciples did. And sometimes they were up, and sometimes they were down. They had ebbs and flows to their Christian walk. Sometimes they were full of faith. Sometimes they exhibited absolutely no faith at all. But what we want to do today is look at how they started. Because whatever God has called you to do, God has equipped you to be able to do it.
Amen.
I want you to repeat that with me.
Whatever
God has called me to do,
God has
equipped
me
to be able to do it. It's in us. It's already in you. But as we said recently, we have to learn how to lean and depend upon Jesus. Lean and depend upon God. You have to trust God. Now watch this. You must trust God like your life depends on it. Because it does. So often we use that phrase so cavalierly, you know, well, you know, act like your life depends on it. And sometimes your life will depend on the situation. But when it comes to trusting God,
your life depends
on it.
Amen. It does.
So you better trust him. You better trust him. So Jesus, he brings the 12 together. He gives them a mission. And he tells them what to do. And they are off now to doing whatever it is that he's told them to do. And I want us to share, I want to share today just a few things that we gather from this text that I think that will be beneficial and helpful for us today. The first thing is that he called them together. He called them together. It's important, I think, that we understand how significant unity is and harmony is. And coming into agreement with others to do the work of God. I know sometimes it seems as though I'm the only one. You're the only one. I'm the only one out here doing what God called me to do. And I got to depend upon myself because I can't depend upon anybody else. I'm the only one out here faithful. And I'm the only one out here who trusts God. And I'm the only one. No, you're not. No, you're not. Listen, go and read your Bible. There's a prophet, man of God. He began to complain and say, I'm the only one left. And all of Israel that still believes in God. And God said, no, sir, I got thousands more who have not turned their heart over to idol worship.
That's true.
Are you with me?
Man.
And so, listen, God has not left us or you individually as the only one left to hold out and do his will. There are plenty more out there who are still committed to doing the work of God. There are plenty more people who can fill these seats here today that will love the Lord and be committed to the ministry that God has called them to. So our job is to seek out those who need to be saved and those who will receive Christ. But it requires a coming together. Even in this church, this local ministry, it requires a coming together. Listen, we can't do it alone, but together we can do it.
Yes.
The Bible says in Psalms 133, how good and pleasant mm-hmm. is it for brethren to dwell together
Amen.
In unity.
Yes.
For us to come together. The Bible says, wherever two or three gathered in my name, yes. there shall I be also. If two or more of you touch and agree upon anything, it shall be done for you. There is power in coming together. And so often, it's easy for us to come together when there's some trouble or some mess. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
I mean, you let somebody start a fight at school, what happens? It's like a magnet. Folk run and gather. You don't have to tell nobody, come see the fight. All they got to do is hear the ruckus of a fight, and there they are. Accident on the roadway, people gather to begin to watch and to see what is going on. Oftentimes, when it comes time to try to thwart whatever God is doing, you will have massive people that will come together to try to keep what God wants to be done from ever happening. And no doubt, watch this, demons, I'm preaching to you today, demons have come together to keep you from reaching your destiny in Christ.
Amen. That's true. Amen.
There are demons which have been sent out to destroy the effectiveness of your walk.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Now, don't feel bad about that. Don't get so down about that. Because there are also angels that have been assigned to watch over your life.
That's
come on,
right,
y'all.
That's right.
Y'all can't get happy about that?
Amen.
God has assigned angels that come and to see about you and to check on you and to watch over your life and even to deliver the promise of God in your life.
Yes.
There are angels that are fighting right now on your behalf. Come on, y'all. And so Jesus sends them out. They come together. And when you come together, one of the benefits of coming together is that you hear the same word. Because, listen, I can preach a word to you right now, and we can come together, and we can say we're going to do this thing or that thing. But for whoever's not here, they don't hear it live and in person. They may try to hear it down the road, but it may be changed a little bit. So they don't get the memo the right way. They don't get the message the right way. You know, when you have your family, you gather your whole family together, And you tell your family, this is what we're going to do as a family. This is how we're going to move, or what's going to take place in our home. And so now everybody's on the same page. Everybody's on the same page. And it's the same way. If you come together as a family and you pray, when you come together as a family and pray, now the children know what mom and daddy believes is important. Come on, y'all with me. The children begin to learn, okay, mom and daddy, they're trusting in Jesus.
That's right.
They're leaning and depending upon God. It's not all about them.
That's right.
It's about what God is doing.
That's right.
There's a vision for this family.
That's right.
Okay, so that's why we come together on Sundays. That's why we come together on Wednesday nights. That's why we try to come together in various other areas so that we can grow together.
Man.
Because when you come together, you're able to grow together. And the vision can be carried out together. Does that make sense? So now, Jesus calls them together. He calls them together. But not only does he call them together, but the second thing he does is he empowers them.
Yes.
He gives them power and he gives them authority. So that when they go out, they don't go out weak. And they don't go out impotent.
Yeah.
But rather they go out with potential.
Amen.
And with power. Because he says he gave them power and authority.
Yes.
To drive out all demons.
Amen.
And to cure diseases.
Yes.
He gave them power and authority to get rid of evil spirits.
Yes.
To get rid of demons.
Yes.
To get rid of disease. Mm-hmm. To get rid of sickness. To cure those who were unhealthy.
Yes.
I mean, that's power.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, God didn't stop giving out power in the Bible.
Amen.
God gives out power today.
Amen. Yes.
Are you with me today?
Yes.
God gives out power today. The Bible talks about the book of Acts chapter 1 and 8. And they were filled with power, the Holy Ghost. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
And so then they were able to go out into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Why? Because they have been filled with power.
Amen.
Now, what is this power? This power is Jesus in your life.
Amen.
This power is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
This power is the Spirit of God.
Yes.
It is the very anointing of God.
Yes.
That is on deposit within us.
Amen.
Listen, touch yourself and say, the anointing of God,
the anointing of God.
Is in my life. The power of God
is in my life.
And I have authority
over
demons. I have authority over sickness.
I have authority
over disease.
I have authority
over the devil. Greater is he
that is in me
than he that is in the world. Amen. That's the power we have.
Yes.
See, now, it would be wrong for Jesus to send us out and not send us out with power and authority.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Whenever God spoke to Moses and God said to Moses to go to the Pharaoh, you know, what kind of messed Moses up was because Moses, you know, didn't believe he had power or authority to go up against the Pharaoh. But at least Moses was wise enough to say, now if I don't have it, there's somebody else who does, and obviously it's you who are talking to me. God, you who are talking to me, you have the power. So who do I tell the Pharaoh, sent me? Who do I tell him sent me? And God said, tell him I am.
I have that I am.
Come on, y'all with me? In other words, God said, listen, when you say I am, that's saying a greater power and a greater authority than you, Pharaoh, has summoned Moses to you to say to you to let my people go. Because listen, the devil don't care, listen, what you have to say until you say it in Jesus' name.
All right. All right.
Are you with me today?
That's right.
The devil don't care, listen, the devil don't care who you are until you are washed in the blood of the Lamb.
All right.
When you listen, you cannot defeat the devil in your own strength.
That's right.
Come on, somebody. You cannot defeat the devil in your own strength. The Bible talks about how there were a couple of followers of God. Listen, or actually they were not followers of God. They were acting as though they were followers of God. And they went and tried to cast demons out of a demon-possessed man.
Yeah.
And that demon-possessed man whipped them, beat them. Listen,
whipped them so bad that they were naked by the time he finished. Are you with me? Come on, y'all.
Right.
He whipped them until they were naked.
Right.
And what happened was, is that they were trying to, listen, they were trying to defeat him without the Spirit of God.
Right.
Are you with me?
Right.
And so listen, some of us could be getting whipped in our lives because we're trying to stand alone. Okay?
Right.
Let me say it in the practical way that you can understand it. Listen, you got a better job, you make more money, so now you're trying to make your money fix things in your life. But your money can't fix things in your life. You keep coming up with problems that money can't fix.
All right.
Are you with me? Your status, your education level, whatever it is, you're trying to use those things to get further along in life, and it's not working. Because guess what? It has always been the Lord in your life.
All right.
Even when you didn't know it.
All right.
It has always been Jesus.
Right.
Listen, the man, the unknown author who wrote Footprints in the Sand, he understood that.
Yeah.
Or she understood that, whoever it was. Because when I realized that I only saw the two footprints, it was not that you had left me, it was when you were carrying me.
All right.
And God has carried us at times when we were unaware.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Back when you were out there living crazy. Come on, somebody.
Right.
Some of y'all know at times in your life that you should have been dead and gone.
All right.
Amen. When the clock should have stopped ticking in your life.
That's right.
Yet God, thank the Lord for that. But God, listen, a lot of us have had a lot of but God moments in our life.
All right.
I should have been dead, but God. I should have been lost, but God. I should have been in despair, but God. I should have killed myself, but God. I should have gone crazy, but God.
All right.
God intervened. And God's power has always been working in your life.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Now, here's what God wants us to do. God wants us to, listen, not just be anyhow blessed saints. What do you mean by that? The Bible says that, listen, the rain falls upon the just as well as the unjust.
Yes,
we are blessed simply by being here.
Yes.
Come on. The God's rain of blessings comes down on us even when we are ungodly. Even the ungodly are blessed to some extent.
Yes, sir.
Right? But there's a difference. There's a difference in the level of blessing when you operate in the things of God. When you take notice of what God has said, and you incorporate what God has said into your life, and now I operate pursuant to and according to the word of God. I'm not just getting blessed because I walked outside and happened to get rained upon, but I went outside with the intention of getting rained upon. Are you with me?
Amen. All right.
I purposed it in my heart to do as God has called me to do.
All right.
And so now I want to utilize. God has said, listen, I want y'all to hear this. You got to hear this. God has said you have power and authority. The question is, how often do you use it?
All right.
On your job, do you use your power and authority? See, here's what we think. I got a boss, and they got a boss, and they have the authority, and they make the rules, and I'm subject to the rules. And we do have to follow what is in order and in decency and in order in our life. But they don't have the authority over you, spiritually speaking. And they don't have the authority over the direction of your life.
That's true.
You have the authority That's over right. the direction of your life.
That's right.
With the word of God in your mouth.
That's right. Right.
Because watch this. Listen. Sometimes the people that you have authority over, you just put them in the hands of God.
All right.
And if they don't get out of your way, God will move them out of your way.
Make it plain.
Are you with me?
Make it plain.
Some folk, listen, and some folk, God will move out of your way nicely and bless them. And then sometimes God will do it in such a way that they are not blessed.
That's right.
Are you with me?
That's true.
Sometimes, sometimes we just have to remember that God is totally in control.
Yes.
Never be afraid or fearful of somebody who's supposed to have authority over you.
Amen.
The Bible says this, who are you to fear? Fear the Lord.
That's right. Amen. That's
Fear the Lord. Right. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise knowledge. Go to the book of Proverbs. That's what it says. So I have to understand, I have the authority. I have the authority to speak destiny in my life. I have the authority to speak prosperity in my life. Life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
I have the authority to speak blessings over my marriage. But I also have the authority to speak curses over my marriage.
Yep. That's true.
I have the authority to bless and encourage my children. I also have the authority to curse my children.
True.
I have the authority to bless my finances, but I can also curse my finances.
Yes, amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
We have to learn how to start operating and speaking as those who are anointed and empowered by the Lord.
Amen.
Those who have authority.
Amen.
But God didn't just start this. Listen, God didn't just start this when Jesus spoke this to the disciples. This was how God always intended it. The Bible says God created man.
That's right.
And then he gave them dominion.
Right.
Man.
What is dominion? Dominion is authority. This is how the kingdom of God operates. And what Jesus sent the 12 out to do, go back and read that text. Jesus sent them out to preach the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Thus, that means that the kingdom of God is a place where God's people have authority.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
The kingdom of God is the place where you, as the child of God, have authority.
Amen.
It's the place where you have dominion.
That's right.
Where, as we often say, you can call those things that be not as though they were. Now, I want you to hear how this is supposed to make sense. What you are supposed to do is do as much as ye are able by the power and authority of God to operate in the capacity that God wants you to operate in, to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. And whenever you get to a place where something does not work, you can say, God, I did what you called me to do. I use what you gave me to use, and it's totally now in your hands.
Huh. All right.
And leave it to God. And listen, you don't have to worry one day, one second about it.
Amen. It's true.
If God has called us to have a ministry and to save folk and to preach the word of God, and that God is going to give us a building, and that God is going to bless us, listen, our job is to do everything that God has called us to do with the right attitude,
all right,
in obedience to God, and listen, then trust the result in God's hands.
All right. Amen.
If you get sick in your body, you lay hands on yourself and you pray for yourself and you ask for deliverance and you trust in the Lord, you plead the blood of Jesus, and after you've done all you can do is still in God's hands.
Amen. It's true.
Are you with me?
Amen.
It's in the hands of the Lord. And so that's how God, listen, your finances, you just do what God called you to do. You trust God and just leave it in his hands.
Man.
If you go to get a new house and they turn you down and you trusted God and you've done what you're supposed to do and God did not allow it to be, you just say to God be the glory and keep on moving.
All right.
Because God didn't intend for you to have it.
All right.
But maybe God intended for you to have something else that was much better in its place.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
So Jesus, he sends them out. He brings them together. He gives them authority. He gives them power. And then watch this. He gives them specific instructions.
Yes.
First thing he says is don't take anything for your journey.
Amen.
Take nothing for your journey. Now come home, God. I need a little something along the way. How many of you, if you were told to go on a long journey, if I commissioned you to go on a long journey, and I said, don't take any money, don't take any food, don't take any water. Come on, y'all. Matter of fact, don't even drive. You're going to thumb your way along. The very first thing you're going to say is, the Lord didn't tell you that. You are not anointed of God. This is not of God. And then, especially if you're married, either the husband or wife, somebody's going to be the voice of opposition. Are y'all with me? Somebody's going to say, this ain't the Lord. Because we have been, listen, I want you all to hear this. We have been so trained in our present world, in our present generation, not to live by faith.
Amen. That's true.
We're trained to live by sight.
Uh-huh.
And to live by, and even worse than living by sight, we live by feelings today.
Mm-hmm.
How I feel dictates what I do. We have given money power over us.
Yes. All right.
Our money dictates what we do.
All right.
We have given people power over us. For some people, your boss has more control over your life than God does. Come on, y'all.
All right.
For some people, your money has more control over your life than God does.
All right.
Anything that has more say in your life than God does has become your idol.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes,
sir. Amen.
And you're worshiping it.
Amen.
You have become a slave to it.
Amen.
When it tells you to go, you go.
Uh-huh.
We're told we have one God.
Huh.
To worship one God. Jesus says, take nothing, no staff that I can rely upon. The staff is steady. I can rely upon it. No bag, no bread, no money. I can't even, I don't have no money. No extra tunic, no extra clothing. And go. Faith. Come on, somebody. That's faith.
Amen.
You know what he's saying? He's saying totally trust and rely upon God.
Amen.
As your provision.
Amen.
Trust God to make a way. No, trust God to make every
B-way.
Way.
Amen.
Trust God completely.
Amen.
When was the last time you just said, Lord, I just trust you completely? I don't understand it. I don't know what's going on. But I just trust you completely. Now, watch this. He still told them what to do and how to do it. He didn't cut back on the mission. Are you with me? So often what happens with us is whenever a resource is not there, then we it stops us from being committed to what God has called us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever God has called you to do, he knew all the hell that you were going to have to go through to do it. And so he still called you to do it.
Yes.
I always love using the illustration with Moses. Everybody knows it. But whenever God told Moses to go to the Pharaoh, God knew that the Pharaoh would harden his heart.
Oh, yeah.
He knew that the Pharaoh would make it as difficult as possible, right, and as challenging as possible.
Yes.
He knew that the Pharaoh had no heart to give up the people.
That's right.
Yet God still called him and told him to do it.
Yes.
See, the way we operate, here's what we want God to do. Listen, God, you go do all the plagues. You go break the back and the heart and the mind of the Pharaoh. Until when I get there, the Pharaoh meets me. Listen, the Pharaoh meets me at the city gate. Come up. Take these people, please. Let them get them out of here. We don't want to go through anything.
All right.
We don't want to go through rejection. We don't want to go through the heartache. We don't want to go through the pain. We don't want to go through the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to go through any of the things that help to build with character and help to show that we really do trust in God.
All right.
That's true.
Right.
We want, listen, and some of us have gotten to the point in the church, not here, but in the church, that we don't even want to praise. We don't want to give up the sacrifice of praise. That's too much for us. But we want the blessings of God. Jesus told them, don't take anything with you.
Right.
Now, another reason why he says that is so that when they do get blessed, they can't look and say, it was because of my money.
Right.
It was because of my own effort.
No, it was all God.
It was all because of the Lord.
Right.
So now who gets the glory?
God
gets all the glory.
Amen.
Listen, when you come give, you don't have, nobody has to ask you to give your testimony. When God gets all the glory, you're ready to give your testimony. When you know that God blessed you at a point in your life when you couldn't even help yourself, you can't wait to give God the glory.
Amen. That's true.
Listen, and you know what? It's that kind of attitude that makes me tell other people about Jesus.
Yes.
Even when they don't want to hear me.
Amen.
Right.
Even when I have been told I can't talk about Jesus. Yes. How are you going to tell me I can't talk about a God that blessed me and delivered me? That when I did not have anything, when I was dead, on my deathbed, God brought me out. I'm going to talk about him as long as I got breath in my body.
Yes, sir. All right.
Yes, sir.
Think about that. Listen, envision a person that is dying on their deathbed. They've been to 2 or 3 doctors. All of them said there was no help. They're down and out. Listen, left to die. And God comes in and delivers them at the last moment.
Man.
And now they're delivered. Now they can come back to church. Now they can go back to work. And they can live their life. Then do you think a person like that who's truly been delivered is going to allow anybody to tell them to stop talking about Jesus and the blessings of the Lord? You're crazy if you think I'm going to stop talking about the Lord. You're out of your mind if you think I'm not going to talk about Jesus. He is in my every conversation because he is my God.
Amen.
Listen, I want you to hear this. God is looking for people who are not going to wait until they got on their deathbed to give that kind of testimony.
Amen.
He's looking for you to trust in him and to talk about him even right now.
Yes.
Amen. When things are going well.
Yes.
Because listen, what they were sent out to do, they were sent out to talk to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus didn't send them out at this time to talk to the Gentiles. If you go and read the book of Matthew, you'll see that. Matthew chapter 10. But he sent them out to the lost sheep of Israel.
Yes.
To go out and to preach to them the kingdom of God. Now look what he says. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. Mm-hmm. If the people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them.
Right.
What does that mean? There are going to be some people you're going to tell about Jesus that are not going to hear.
Amen.
But your responsibility is to still
tell
them.
That's right.
And listen, there will be people who will be receptive to the word of the Lord.
That's true.
So when you enter this house, and this is the place where the people are willing to receive you, and you come in, and then they're going to meet your needs.
That's right.
God said, I have assigned certain people out there who are going to help meet your needs.
That's right.
Don't worry about it. In the book of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Really, God? Don't worry about what I'm eating. Don't worry about where you're going to sleep. Don't worry about the clothes on your back. Listen. He says, I got you covered. Some of you need to stop worrying. Stop worrying about things. Take nothing for your journey. To take nothing for your journey means to live by faith.
Amen.
To live by faith.
Amen.
To never give up living by faith. And watch this. Jesus said to them, shake the dust off your feet. You know what that means? That was a clear sign that the people had rejected God.
Yes.
A clear sign that the people had not received the message of Christ. There would be some people that would never receive the message of Christ that you share with them. No matter how many songs you sing, no matter how many sermons you preach, no matter how much money you give them, they will never receive the message of Christ. Okay, let me say it to it another way, a sober way, that you can really understand it. There will be some people who will die and go to hell.
All right. Yes, sir. That's true. That's true. Not going to make it.
Unbelievable.
But you just make sure you do what God has called you to do.
Amen.
And that journey starts right now. We never look back. We never give up. The only thing we do is we look up and we give our God praise.
Yes.
Now I want you to see something, because God holds us accountable. Jesus held them accountable for what he sent them out to do. Look very quickly in the book of Hebrews, and then we're going to be done. Go to the book of Hebrews very quickly. Hebrews is in the New Testament, toward the end. Hebrews chapter 10. Because, listen, sometimes when you're on this faith journey, sometimes you're tempted to give up. Am I right? Sometimes we're tempted to just be sad about our situation. It's a hard thing to witness to people who are not receptive over and over again.
Yes, sir.
It's a difficult thing to tell people about Jesus and people don't listen. It's a difficult thing to live your life according to the Word of God and still have some struggles in life. That's a difficult challenge. But I'm trying to mature us today. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
We need to be mature saints. Come on, somebody. Look at somebody and say, grow up.
Grow up.
We got to grow up. All right? So now sometimes what happens is that we lose confidence. We're tempted to lose confidence. Mm-hmm. Another way of saying that is we're tempted to stop trusting in God. To stop believing in God. Never lose confidence in God.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Never lose confidence in God. Confidence is the backbone of your faith.
Amen.
Never lose confidence in God. Now look at Hebrews 10 and 35. Right? 10 and 35 says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Don't give up. Don't stop believing. God is going to look richly reward you. To richly reward you is to do above and abundantly over.
Amen.
To make it run over.
Yes.
Your cup runneth over. God blessed you beyond what you thought He was able to do. Mm-hmm. Or even willing to do. God is going to richly reward you. Listen. Sooner or later, your ship will come in.
Amen.
We look right now and we say, oh man, we want to fill these seats. To God be the glory, we do. But one day we're going to look up and we're going to be in our own building.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
Come on. Praise the Lord. One day we'll look up and we just see many people. Amen?
Amen.
Because, listen, we continue to trust in God and believe in God. And you're oftentimes right there at the pinnacle of your blessing.
Oh, yeah.
When you give up.
Yes, that's true.
Some people give up. If you just held out a little bit longer, mm-hmm. you would have got it.
Amen.
It would have happened. Mm-hmm. And one of the worst things to ever see is to see somebody who came in at the last minute and the door opened up, seemed like it opened up right for them right after you walked away. God wants you to remain. Listen, God wants you to remain in faith.
Amen.
Listen, so he says, don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. What do you need to do? You need to persevere.
Uh-huh.
Persevere. Keep pressing. Keep trying. Never give up. Persevere. So that when you have done what? Your will.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you have done what you plan to do. So that when you have done what, you know, the social media told you to do. So that when you have done what your friend told you to do or what your boss told you to do. No, the Bible says so that when you have done the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why I have to be faithful, because I have to do the will of God.
Oh, yeah.
When Jesus sent them out, he sent them out to do what he told them to do.
Amen.
Not what they wanted to do.
Amen.
The problem is, listen, and saints, we got to get out of this habit in the churches today. The problem is that when we're told to do something different than what we want to do, we either become obstinate and just don't do anything, or we leave. Come on, somebody.
Uh-huh.
People jump and leave church all the time. Why? Because the pastor told them to do something. I don't want to do that. Who did he tell me what to do? Come on, y'all.
That's true.
And so we leave. He says, after you have done the will of God.
Huh.
So now I have to ask myself a question. You have to ask yourself a question.
The will of God.
And what is what I'm doing?
The will of God.
The will of God.
All right.
Now, when you're operating in the will of God, saints, there's some places you know you will not go.
Amen.
There's some conversations you will not
have.
Are you with me? When you're doing the will of God.
That's right. That's right. All right.
Listen, listen. Faith is not just believing God for something. Faith is how you live.
Amen.
You are just as faithful. You are called faithful when God told you not to go somewhere and you didn't go.
All right, man.
You are faithful when the word of God says, listen, you got to get out of this conversation because it's gossip.
Yep.
And faith is, I got to get out of this conversation. I got to move on. We got to change the conversation. I got to leave.
All right.
That's faithfulness.
Amen.
After you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise. For just in a little while, he was coming, will come, and will not delay. That means that when God shows up, listen, when God shows up to move on your behalf, listen, nobody can stop God.
Amen.
Last night, we were at the restaurant, we were outside, and when the wind started blowing, we had to get up and leave. And it was really just a small little wind, but it moved us. What am I trying to say? God, when God begins to move, God can move in such a way nobody can stop God.
Amen.
Some years ago, God blew across, blew the waters across a whole city. And what, 50, 100,000 people died? Huh. Y'all remember that? Just a few years ago. Huh. A tsunami came. And kill thousands of people at one time. We are only here today because God has allowed us to remain.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
If God could just blow and topple everything we have built.
That's right. In a matter of
God can bring a tornado that can destroy a hurricane that can destroy everything in a moment. You can be sitting up in this church right now, and 10 seconds from now, we can be on the other side of town.
That's true.
Come on now.
That's true.
Are you with me?
True.
God can move just that fast. Okay, let me say this now. Move on. God is nothing to play with.
Amen. Amen.
God, come on. Give him a hand clap of praise. God is nothing to play with.
Amen.
He says, but my righteous will live by faith. Mm-hmm. And look at this. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But look, you guys, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved.
Amen.
We don't give up. We don't throw in the towel. We remain in faith.
Yes.
No matter how bad it looks, no matter who's with us, if you got to be the last one standing in faith, you be standing.
All right.
Come on, somebody.
Man.
Don't take anything for your journey. Watch this. But the Lord Jesus.
All right.
Now listen, stand up on your feet. Let me say it another way. He told him, don't take anything. If you really just look at that scripture, he was basically saying, don't take anything for your journey but my word.
Amen.